This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The return of the stress tests.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's been more than a year and a half since the Federal Reserve put the nation's 19 largest banks on the treadmill, making sure they were healthy enough to go on in the depths of the financial crisis. And this week, the Fed will be back with more stress tests for the banks, looking at whether they can raise dividends and buy back shares. Francisco Guerrera is U.S. finance editor for the Financial Times. He's with us from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What are federal officials looking at with this the new round of stress tests?
Well, the main concern that federal officials have is whether banks have enough capital to be able to raise dividends and buy back shares. In other words, return parts of the profit to shareholders. So they want to make sure that they've got enough capital to do just that.
To get money back to the investors, right?
That's right. Banks have been in this rather awkward position whereby the profits have been going up, their pay packages have been going up, and shareholders have been saying, look, give us some of the money back, right? And banks haven't been able to do it because regulators have told them not to. So this is the moment they've been waiting for in order to placate their investors by giving some of the money that they've been making back.
There was a lot of criticism during the first round of stress tests back in 2009 that they weren't strong enough, they didn't offer this big picture of what's really going on with the banks. Are we going to get a bigger picture of bank health out of these new tests?
For a start, the big difference between this test and the ones we had in 2009 is that this test will not be publicized. So we won't know who passed, who failed. It's all going to be done in secret. Those tests in 2009 were publicized. And I think it's fair to say that they achieved the objective that the government set itself, which was to calm down the market by assuring people that there weren't any black holes in the financial system.
And do you think the fact that these will be secretive, that's going to serve that aspect of it, that it will calm the market?
I think the markets are not that panicky at the moment. I think it's a shame they will be secretive because I think people like us and investors and analysts will like to see what's in there and would like to see how the banks are doing under diverse scenarios for macroeconomic growth. However, I think the government would argue that this is a more normal test and normal tests don't get publicized.
Francisco Guerrera with the Financial Times, thank you.
Thank you.
The nation's third largest electric utility, Duke Energy, announced today it's going to buy Progress Energy for about $14 billion. It's a stock deal. The combined companies would become the largest power company in the country, but energy regulators have to approve. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Together, Duke and Progress would become a huge electric utility stretching from Ohio to Florida. Their deal continues a consolidation trend in the utility industry. There were 8 mergers last year. Rod Cookrow is the chief editor of Platts Daily Electricity News. He says regulators usually set conditions on such deals, like forcing merging utilities to sell power plants that are too close together.
Or they extract concessions having to do with maintaining employee levels for some period of time, or giving back concessions to ratepayers in terms of lower rates.
The dealmakers say customers will benefit because the combined companies will use their purchasing power to buy cheaper fuel, such as coal. But more efficient operations will also mean job cuts. Duke got rid of 1,500 jobs when it took over Cincinnati-based Synergy in 2006. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The markets are off right now about 0.33% across the board. The S&P down 0.3%, same for the NASDAQ, and the Dow down now nearly 0.5%, as a matter of fact, 53 points at 11,621. Global markets are mostly lower today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
Tonight, the number one and number two teams in Division I college football square off in the BCS championship game. And before the Auburn Tigers or Oregon Ducks even take to the field, some fans looking for tickets have tasted defeat. Ticket prices for the game have gone through the roof, and now the website StubHub says it's allowed hundreds of tickets that never actually existed to be sold. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, David Nogueras reports.
If you're looking to go to a sold-out sports event or music concert, and you're not comfortable buying a scalped ticket in the parking lot, thanks to the internet, there are options. StubHub is one of the big players. This year's BCS title had been shaping up to be the biggest moneymaker in the history of StubHub. Head of Communications Glenn Lehrman says that all changed when sellers began to let them know they didn't actually have some of the tickets they sold.
And ordinarily, you know, if something like this happens, we're able to source the tickets from, you know, a variety of locations and able to take care of that. But in this instance, because tickets had become so expensive and so scarce, it was just almost impossible at this point.
With an average cost of $1,100 a ticket, StubHub did something it had never done before. It shut down the event on its site and emailed customers who already received their tickets, offering to buy them back for three times what they paid. StubHub now says they bought back enough tickets to cover all the unfulfilled orders. How much did that cost?
I can't give exact numbers, but let's just say it's a lot of money.
But then again, the secondary ticket market brings in about $3 billion a year. Sucharita Malpuru is an analyst for Forrester Research. She says at the center of that market are the ticket brokers.
A lot of these brokers have relationships with season ticket holders that they think that they can take advantage of. And sometimes in cases like this, situations get a little bit out of hand.
None of the brokers contacted for this story would agree to go on the air, but one said it's common for brokers to sell tickets they don't have with the hope of buying them cheaper later on from panicky sellers. It's kind of like a short sale. But this guy's company lost about $80,000 because not enough fans were willing to part with their tickets, no matter how high prices got. In Oregon, I'm David Nogueras for Marketplace.
And finally, the eerie sound of the dentist drill could be a thing of the past. A researcher at King's Dental Institute in London developed an MP3 device that allows patients to hear music and the dentist while canceling out the sound of the drill. The developers are now hoping investors will be interested in the project. Those investors who are, of course, chomping at the bit. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
A lot of things are made in China. Soon, though, you might need to add that morning cup of joe to the list.
The reason we've worked with companies like Nestle and Starbucks here is to learn their skills, management, and brand building. One day, we'll have our own famous brand.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the China Blend. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.